I'd like you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, and we're going to begin there. Anybody ready for a change today? If you're ready for a change, say, I'm ready for a change. Amen. We're going to talk about how the change can occur in your life. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Say reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want to read this from the Amplified Bible, all right? He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age or to this world. Be fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. How many has ever seen a butterfly? Well, you know, that butterfly did not start out how it finished. But what that butterfly did is, at a time in its life, it builds a cocoon. And it stays inside that cocoon until something on the inside happens to it. It is essentially metamorphosized. There's a metamorphosis that takes place from the butterfly, because it starts off as some kind of a worm. That's my best description. Caterpillar, you know, thank you. And see, that caterpillar, it doesn't stay a caterpillar, but it gets transformed into a butterfly. It didn't have wings, but now it has wings. Before it could crawl, now it can fly. And the colors are different on it, and God wants you to be like that butterfly. He wants you to undergo a metamorphosis, a transformation. He wants, and the transformation takes place, you got to build a cocoon in your mind. Amen? So I want to talk to you today about renewing the mind. You might call this conform, transform, and renew. I love those words. All right? See, when a person comes to Christ, when they make Jesus their Savior, things are not going to remain the same. Things are going to change. First of all, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. God recreates you. The minute you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, God recreates you, the real you, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. The Bible says if you be in Christ, you are what? A new creature. And what happens to things? Old things, what happens to the old things? They pass away. Now what happens now? All things become what? New. Are you ready to embrace the new you? Amen? If you want to change your life, you're going to have to deal with the control system of your body. That is your mind. Actually, it's not the brain, but it's your mind. Okay? Your brain is the natural organ. But your mind is the thing that's attached to the spirit. It's your mind. It's the control center of everything that you are. Everything that you do starts in the mind. And when you come to Christ now, things are different. Things are new. Guess what? You're going to have to make some adjustments. You're going to have to make some changes. Because what you used to do may not be acceptable now. What you used to be into may not be acceptable now. Amen? So, who's going to renew your mind? You are. Right? You're not going to renew someone else's mind. Have you ever tried to change a person? Anybody ever? Wives, you ever try to change your husband? Does it work? No matter how hard we try, the only person that we can change, the only person that I can change is me. And when I change the way I think about things, then I'll change the way I behave. And my actions will change. So we want to get into this today. And see, I love how the Amplified says it. He says, I appeal to you. Men, I want to say that to you. I appeal to you, men. We're calling men to make a commitment, to enter into a resolution. If you've seen the movie Courageous, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, we have a copy there. Now, you know, we've had time to kind of look this over, but maybe you haven't. But I'm calling for some courageous men to stand up, to step up, and to speak up. Now, you may not be there now, okay? And that's okay. Everybody say, that's okay.
That's okay.
But you may want to get there. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to help you get there. If you're not at this point to make this commitment now, we're not going to do it today, by the way. We're going to do it on Father's Day. So you have some time to think about it. You have some time to look it over, to determine if this is something that I really want to do. So I want to give you some time to think about it. And give it some thought. Mull it over. Because I'm simply going to appeal to you. Paul is doing that right. What's he telling us? To present our bodies a living sacrifice. He's making an appeal. He is urging us. You know, I mean, God can't even change your mind. I mean, seriously, if God could change people's minds, wouldn't everybody be saved now? The Gideon's work would be done. Our work would be done. We'd all be celebrating in heaven. But every person has to do the own changing of their mind. And the way you change your mind is you get new information. All right? New teaching. But when Christ comes in you, he changes you. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 30. You know, he tells us that he will sprinkle clean water on us, and you will be clean. You know, when God cleans you, you're clean. God will make you squeaky clean. All right? And he'll wash all of our filthiness, all of our stench. And notice what he'll give us in verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Why do you think God wants you to have a heart of flesh? He wants something to be able to write on. He's got information. He's got truth. He's got revelation. He's got insight that he wants to write on your heart. He's got his commands. You know, God doesn't write his commands in your head. He writes them in your heart. Because when we get things in our head sometimes, we mess it up. Adam had a thought in his head that he should eat the fruit that God said he shouldn't. And when he did, how many knows, he messed it up. But don't think so bad about Adam. How many of us have done something bad, knowing it was bad, knowing it was wrong? Yeah, we've all been there. That's why I don't ask for any hands. So God will put a new heart and a new spirit in us. Verse 28, and you shall dwell in the land that I give you, that I give to your fatness, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. That speaks of relationship. God wants a relationship. And he wants you to know him. Therefore, he will write things about him on your heart. Because he knows if he can capture your heart, he's got you. Because the heart makes up you. Amen? So God wants your heart. He wants your whole heart. And he doesn't just recondition your heart. He gives you a new heart. Brand new. I mean, created in the image of Christ. He uses a new master copy to make the duplicate. Can you say amen? You know, the duplicate is only as good as the master. And if you're copied from a good master, you'll make a good copy. Come on. So he'll make everything new. Verse 30. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree. Thank God, he'll make you fruitful. He'll multiply your fruitfulness. And the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Wouldn't that be awesome to have no more famine? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to look at this for a minute. Let's go to verse 20. He tells us some changes that are necessary when you come to Christ. Now, ladies, I need your help. When you go to the mall and you buy a nice new outfit with matching shoes, you know, and you put it on and you just look good in this outfit. Does it make you want to wear old outfits? No, it makes you want to put on the new outfit, amen? And how many, when you get a new car, doesn't it just change your attitude, you know? You don't want to drive the old clunker anymore, amen? That sputters and chuck, you know, kind of makes a chorus while you're driving. But when you get into that new car, it changes you, doesn't it? It literally makes you feel good, doesn't it? Come on, talk to me. See, we like new things. So look at verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So part of renewing the mind is putting off the old way of thinking, the old way of doing. And I just want to say that just because something is considered old, that doesn't mean it's bad, all right? But before you came to Christ, you lived a certain way. You had a certain mindset. You did certain things because that's what you thought in your mind. And before Christ, those things that we did led us into bondage. led us into slavery. The things that I did in my life, I didn't know they were going to lead me down a dead-end road until I was at the dead end. But because of my mindset, oh, I'm just going to do it because it feels good. Or I'm going to do it because my friends say do it. You know, like Mom always said, if someone says jump off the bridge, that doesn't mean you have to. Don't do it because others tell you to. Amen? But see, before I came to Christ, I was living a certain way. I was doing my thing, my way, the way I wanted to do it. My vision was limited. But then when I came to Christ, He opened me up to a whole new set of way, a whole new lifestyle, a whole new way to live with new rules. You know? For example, if you want to prosper in the world, how do people prosper in the world? You know, they might treat people bad. They might stab you in the back. They might do things that are a little bit iffy or shady to get ahead, right? But now when you come to Christ, to get ahead means you got to give. You're not doing the things you used to do before. You got to put off the old in order to put on the new. Sometimes if you want to put on the new, there's something blocking the new called the old man, the old way of doing things. And you're stuck in the old way. And God wants to bring you into a new way. Amen? A new way of living, a new way of doing things, a new way of treating people. I don't know about you, but when you got born again, did you start treating people differently? Why? Your perspective changes. You know? You can't just go for an eye for an eye anymore. When someone punches you, I'm going to punch him back. No, that's the old man. The new man means you got to turn the cheek. Uh-oh. That means I got to put faith in God and not in myself. It requires us to live differently. Amen? But you can't live differently with an old mind. You can't enjoy the new by thinking in terms of the old. You got to renew your mind. And notice this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When you become a new creature, you are truly holy. When you become a new creature, you're just like Jesus. You're justified. What does that mean? Just as if I've never sinned. You're no longer an old sinner. Now you're a new creature. And now, just because you became a new creature, now you got to recondition your mind. Just because you take one driving course doesn't mean you're ready to have a license. Right? What do they do before they give you a license? They condition you. They teach you about the road signs. They teach you how to handle a car. They put you in a car with someone who has a brake on the passenger side. I wish I could have a driver's ed car and some other situations. But see, they condition you. They train you. They prepare you before you get behind the wheel, so that you at least have some training. And then you have to take a driver's test with a person who's going to check on how you do the three-point turn, or how you parallel park, or how you use your turn signals if your hands are at 10 at 2 o'clock. But when I pass my test, I move my hands all around. But isn't that true? So just because you get born again, that is simply the beginning. Now you've got to learn how to live like Christ. Now you've got to be teachable. You've got to find out what God's will is for your life. Getting born again is the first part. Then you got to know why God created you. Then you got to know how to do what God created you to do. Then you got to know where God wants you to go. Then you got to know what to do when you get there. And that is a learning process. So the renewing of the mind is not a once and done thing. It is an ongoing process. We are continually being made new. You know, in your house, you have windows, right? Hopefully. Well, through ordinary weather, those windows get dirty. And the more dirt a window has on it, the less light comes in that window. Now think of the window like your life. The more dirt that we get accumulated in our life, the harder it is for God's light to come through. But when we clean the window, isn't it amazing when you clean the bathroom mirror how much brighter the lights are? Woo! I didn't know it was so bright in here. But see, just cleaning that off brings a greater reflection of the light. Just cleaning up some of the areas of our life causes more light to come into us. We can be more like Jesus. We are supposed to be conformed to Jesus. When you get born again, Jesus now becomes your model, your pattern, and your example. You have to live like him, you have to talk like him, and you have to walk like him. You have to treat people like he does. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. That tells me, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. So, husband, you need to find out how Christ loves the church. You might have some filth on that window. And God can't get his light through until you clean up that window. Cleaning up the window is like putting off the old man. Amen? Look at verse 26. Verse 25. Put away lying. If you were a liar before you met Christ, lying is not acceptable when you know Christ. When you know Christ, there's no such thing as a white lie. Lies are lies. Doesn't matter what color they are, what shape they come in. Do not lie. God is about truth, not about lying. The devil's the father of lies. You're not made in the devil's image. When you come to Christ, you're made in God's image. So that requires a change in your behavior. If you lied before, you got to stop lying and start telling the truth. But if you've been so used to lying, it's a lot harder to tell the truth. Because that habit has been ingrained in you. You got to break that habit. You got to change that way. And the only way to do it is to change how you think. You got to now start to think about the truth. About what the truth means. About what it means to speak the truth. He says, speak every man the truth. Verse 26, be angry and what? How many of us sinned in our anger before the Lord? We'd get angry and we'd fly off the handle. Guess what? That's not acceptable in God's kingdom. Does God say never get angry? No. Jesus got angry. Do you think he was nice about clearing out the temple? Excuse me, sir, that doesn't belong here. Could you take that out? He went in there with a whip. He was overturning tables. He was pushing things out of the way. He was smashing things. He said, you need to get out. He was angry. Why? Because they were using his house in the wrong way. What does it say, though, about our anger? Be angry and what? Sin not. Uh-oh, that means now you got to control your anger instead of your anger controlling you. How do you know when your anger controls you? When you say the wrong thing and you end up hurting people. Your anger has gotten control of you. Yeah, we can be angry at the devil. We can be angry when things wrong occur. But too many times, see, because that's how we used to live. Before we met Christ, being angry was okay. Maybe you grew up in an atmosphere of anger. Maybe it got ingrained in you. Well, it's a lot harder to break that habit now. And the only way that you're going to do it is if you renew the mind. Renew. Make it new. You got to start new thoughts. New thoughts come with new information. Our new information is the Word of God, not our feelings. Maybe before you met Christ, you were led by your feelings and your emotions, and you were like a roller coaster. You live life because you live by your feelings. You were up and down all around. Why? Have you ever noticed how quickly feelings change? You could become angry and put on a love song and it changes the atmosphere. Oh, peaceful music. Okay, it calms you, doesn't it? Your feelings can change so quickly. But the life that God is asking you to live is one that's steadfast, that's steady, that's on the narrow path, not on the wide path. You know, on a narrow path, if you have a wide path, you don't have to worry about how you walk because it's wide. But on a narrow path, let's say a balance beam. On a balance beam, you got to be careful how you step now. You can't walk a balance beam like you did on a wide path. You got to take cautious steps. Why? Because you might fall. See, Christians who don't renew the mind, they end up going back to what they came out of. They end up going back into the lifestyle that they came out of. It's because they haven't changed the way they think. They haven't renewed the mind. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Well, you know, Pastor, I really don't like to read. I'm not much of a reader. Well, as a Christian, you better become a reader. Because if you don't know God's word, you can be easily led astray. If you don't know what's true, then any lie that comes can lead you down the wrong path. Praise God for the Gideons. People got saved reading the Bible. Thank God Orlando was a reader. Even though he smoked it, at least he read some, and that was enough that got him saved. Can you imagine? This word is so powerful that reading it, people can change their life. So this new person is renewed in knowledge. If you have a behavior that is ungodly, and that behavior keeps occurring and occurring and occurring, something needs to change. I'm talking about behaviors that God is not pleased with. And if you've been walking with God for any time, you know what's... Listen, when you do something wrong, something inside of you, you are wired to know what's right and wrong. And if you really take a listen to how you behave, you'll know on the inside of you that your behavior is wrong. Your response is wrong. The way you do it is wrong. Well, you got to change. And you can't just modify your behavior without a change in your mind or attitude. I'm not talking behavior modification. I'm talking mind renewal. Listen, men, when you get your car's oils changed, you put old oil in the car. How many take the oil that they collect from their car and put it back into their car? You put new oil into the car. Why? Because the old oil is full of muck and mud. It gets black, it gets dark, it gets burnt. You wouldn't want to use the old oil. So why are you trying to change with old information? Come on. You need new information to change. Let's go on here a little bit. Is this all right? If not, you're here, so it better be right. I got a captive audience. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. You know, the Phillips translation translates Romans 12 about, they said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Anybody bake any cookies in here? Well, when you want the dough to come out in a particular shape, what do? You use a cookie cutter. Listen, we don't want a cookie cutter Christian. We don't want you to take a pattern from the world, stick it in the dough and say, here you are. No, everything that God creates is unique. Everything that God creates is different. We could take all of our fingerprints here and not one fingerprint in this room would be the same. That's how God is. He makes you different. Listen, Adam never got to his potential, but in Jesus Christ, we can get to where Adam needed to go. Because Jesus is the second Adam, and where Adam failed, Jesus won the victory. What Adam lost, Jesus gained back, praise God. He made us right with God. We don't have to have fear to come into God's presence. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. Why? Most of those nations practice witchcraft. They would sacrifice their kids. They would do all kinds of things. He lists them. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or daughter to pass through fire, or that uses divination or fortune telling, or an observer of times, that's astrology, or an enchanter or a witch. And there's no such thing as a good witch. Which witch is which? None of them. God is telling his people that though he's giving them a land that was occupied by these other peoples, they were not to live like the other people. They were to live according to God's commands and not like the people. And you know what? If you don't spell it out for people, people aren't going to get it. Right? So God spelled it out for the people. Don't be like the nations. Don't practice what they practice. Don't do what they do. Listen, Hollywood is not the standard for living. And I'll guarantee you, you know, Solomon lived better than any person would. And it was God who got him to that point. Just unfortunately, he did things that God said don't do, and he got in trouble. When you do what God says don't do, you bring trouble on yourself. You have no one to blame because you're responsible for your mind. So he tells us we're not to conform to the world. We're not to do the accepted thing. We're not to take a poll. We don't have to play by their rules. The world can't speak to storms, but we can. The world wants to get you so convinced that the economy is so bad. The world will tell you that there's not enough resources in this earth. Really? Are you kidding me? There's not enough resources in this earth to sustain people, and even more than what's here now? Are you kidding me? There's more than enough resources. But if you hear what the world says all the time, you'd be thinking, oh, I'm going to run out. Get out of the run out mentality and start serving the God Almighty mentality. All right? In our last few moments here, I want to tell you some people who had their minds changed. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to get into this more next week. Oh yeah, 2 weeks. Mark chapter 5. I want you to go here. Verse 1. And they came over to the other side. You know, some people think the grass is greener on the other side, right? But you know, when you get to the other side, you still got to mow it. You still got to weed it. Yeah, it might be greener, but you know, green grass means more work. got to the other side. And they came into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with what? If you think an unclean spirit possesses a man, what do you think that man might think? Unclean thoughts. He might do unclean behavior. See, he had an unclean spirit. We don't know how the spirit got there, but you know what? Spirits come by invitation. Spirits come by invitation. When you disobey God, you invite the devil to come into your life. Inadvertently. Okay? So this man had an unclean spirit. Therefore, he had an unclean mind. His mind needed to be cleaned. Okay? Who had his dwelling among the tombs. Anybody want to buy some real estate in the graveyard? You know, I don't see houses being built on a graveyard. Well, they wanted a front row seat at Resurrection Day. So whatever church is next to the grave, we're going to get some popcorn when Jesus comes back and watch the show. No, I'm not going to be around to watch the show. You can. He had his dwelling among... What kind of mindset would it take for someone to live in a tomb? Think about this for a minute. What goes through you? Man, why are you living in this place? He couldn't help it because he had an unclean spirit. And because he had an unclean spirit, his mind was affected. Okay? And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. They couldn't even restrain him with handcuffs. He broke the chains. What kind of mindset of a person breaks chains? Huh? When they're trying to restrain you and you break them, that's an uncontrolled mind. That's a mind who cannot be restrained, because that's how the devil is. If you let the devil run roughshod over you, he will. If you give him an inch, he'll become your ruler. Some of you missed that. Inch, ruler. Okay, verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters. That's what they put criminals in. And chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He was a wild man. I don't even think he took a bath. I don't think he washed his hair. Head and shoulders couldn't help this guy. Okay? Now, verse 5. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What kind of a mindset does a person have to cut themselves, to harm themselves? They don't care about themselves. They don't care about people. And it all stems because he had an unclean spirit. But his life is about to change. Why? He's about to have an opportunity to make his mind new. This is a great story. But when he saw Jesus, how close was Jesus? What did he do? He ran and worshiped him. Every person has a heart's cry to worship God. This man had an unclean spirit, yet he was able to worship God. How many people come to church with an unclean spirit? Uh-oh. Oh, they're worshiping God. Everything looks good, but inside they're not clean. See, it's not what you do for everybody to see. It's what your heart is. Anybody can do the right thing in front of the right people. But who are you when those people aren't there? Anybody can have a smile when they come to church, but how is it when you go home? When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That means he didn't want this devil there, but he didn't know how to get rid of the devil. And he, verse 7, and he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God?" Now, that's not him talking. That's the demon talking. "I adjure you by God that you torment me not." He knew that there was something about Jesus that could do him harm. See, the devil knows who's in authority. And when you mention the name of Jesus, you'll cause the devil's knees to tremble. Okay? "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is your name? And he said, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." This guy just didn't have one devil. He was possessed with several devils, several demons. Okay? But one always gets the entrance and brings others with it. Whatever action he did to cause the devil to come to him and then take possession of him, okay? But you got, I want you to see his mindset. The things that he did, the things that he said, okay? "And he answered, My name is Legion." Verse 10, "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." Apparently, people welcomed them in the country. No devils are welcome here. So if you bring one with you, we'll cast it out and you can stay. Hallelujah. Amen? "Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place." See, even the pigs didn't want the devils in them. Pigs had enough sense to say, "I'm getting out of here." Okay? There were about 2,000. 2,000 pigs. "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil." Now notice this is key. "That had the legion sitting clothed and where? In his right mind. And they were afraid." What brought change to this man? His mind. See, when the devil was cast out of him, when the devils were cast out of him, they no longer had control of his mind. Now he could receive the truth. And Jesus is the Word. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus was right there. See, Jesus, the truth cast the devils out. The truth turned on the light. The truth scattered the darkness. And he was in his right mind. He was clothed. He must have been running around naked. People who run around naked aren't in their right mind. But see how the devil doesn't care. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about people. All he wants to do is pervert what God tries to do. And so, and the people saw him. The people who tried to chain him saw him sitting down, clothed and in his right mind. Have you been out of your mind? It's time to get in your right mind. Amen? Now notice verse 18. Well, verse 17, "They began to pray him to depart out of their coast." They were telling Jesus to leave. That place must have been a pretty wicked place to tell Jesus to leave. But what did he do? He left. Because Jesus is a gentleman. If you don't want to change your ways, God won't make you. But if you don't change your ways and you die, you will suffer the consequences of it. You may think you're getting away with it now. No, you are not. Because every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged how we lived this life. We're going to be judged what we did with what God wanted us to do. Jesus is going to judge us. No one will be around you. No one will be with you. It'll be you and Jesus face to face with the truth. And he's going to tell you what you did in your life. And he's going to let you know whether or not he was pleased with how you lived, how you treated people, how you did his will. So don't think that people get away with things, because it will all come out in the wash. Verse 18, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to be with Jesus. See, in his right mind, he wanted to be where Jesus was. He wanted to embrace the truth. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends, tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. Do you realize when Jesus sent this man out that Jesus went back to this area at another time? That's when Jairus came to him. That's when the woman with the issue of blood came to him. Because I believe that by this man's testimony that he went out and shared because he was in the right mind. See, when you're in the right mind, you want to share about Jesus. When you're in the right mind, you love Jesus. You're not ashamed of Jesus. When you're in your right mind, you don't mind being called a Christian. You don't mind going to church. You don't mind doing the things of God. Why? Because you're in your right mind. Any Christian that doesn't want to go to church is not in their right mind. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Deca is the root word for 10, isn't it? 10 cities. He went on a 10-city tour. He began to publish how great things the Lord has done for him and has had compassion on him. And all the men did marvel. And look at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered to him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So it was all this person had to change his mind before he could change his behavior. Without changing the mind, you will keep doing what's wrong continually, time after time. And you'll get frustrated. You'll get annoyed. You'll be hurting people along the way because you refuse to change when all you need is new information. When all you need is to renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world. You got to live differently. Yes, you're in the world, but you're not of it. You're not of the world system. You don't have to do things like the world does them. The world is predominantly negative. The world system is set to fail. It cannot succeed. It will not sustain itself. But the kingdom of God is eternal. God's word is forever established in the heavens. It will not change. It cannot change. You can trust in God's word. You can walk with God. He is a sure foundation. He's the rock of your salvation. And it's time when you get born again to start to live for him, to start to build a relationship with him, get to know him and do what he wants you to do. But that's going to require you to renew your mind. You cannot do it with the old way of thinking. You've got to renew. You've got to get some new information. When you don't know what to do, what should you do? Pray? Ask. You know what? We're supposed to go into all the world and make what? As a disciple, if you don't know something, you can say, hey, Tony, do you know anything about this? And Tony says, yeah, then Tony can share what he knows. In a sense, that's discipleship. That's relationship. We need to be sharing with others what we know. But you ought to live in such a way that would cause others to ask questions. If you have the answer, then you need to live it. Come on. Too many times we don't want to live God's. We don't want to put God's word into practice. We want to be a hearer of the word, but not a doer of it. Oh yeah, it's easy to hear the word. You can sit here today and you can hear the word of God and you can say, whoo, that's good. But the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. And you're like, Pastor, you better shut up because you're reading my mail. And I'm not a mailman. I don't read people's mail. That's the Holy Ghost. He's dealing with you. He's calling you to change, but you sit there and refuse to change. You become hard-hearted. You become like the Pharisees who were called brood of vipers. That's a big pile of snakes if you didn't know that. Refusing to change is actually grieving the Holy Ghost. When God is dealing with you, whether it be through a message, through a person, or through something, and God is dealing with you to change, and you don't change, you're held responsible for not changing. Then, in essence, you've made up your mind that you're not going to do it God's way, you're going to do it your way. That's pride, and pride comes before a fall. I know I'm hitting some toes right now. But it is my job to tell the truth. God's heart breaks when people refuse to accept his offer. Literally, Jesus went through hell to save you. Oh yeah, before he ascended, he descended into the lower parts. And here God is. He gives you grace and mercy. Think of a waiter at a fine restaurant with a silver platter covered. He comes to your table with an order of grace and mercy. And you look at that grace and you say, ew, I don't want that. You refuse. You refuse help from God. When you know, I'm telling you, you will not change on your own. If you don't get the word of God in you, you'll never change. You have to get the word of God into your heart. How do you get the word of God into your heart? Let me just close with this. Number one, you be where God's word is taught, preached, and proclaimed. Okay? You have to hear the word. Secondly, then you believe it. Then you accept it. Okay? You've heard it. You believe it and you accept it, now you've got to do it. And sometimes in order to do it, you've got to reinforce what you believe. If I balance this chair on one leg, how many people would volunteer to sit on it? You could try, but you would fall off. If I had two legs, it's a little bit more sturdy. But still, it's not really stable enough to sit on. But if I have this chair on four legs, if I find four similar things that God says about the same subject, it's going to really strengthen my foundation. And I'll be secure to stand on it now. But see, sometimes it takes more than one scripture. You really have to get the scripture inside of you. Not just in your head, but in your heart. If it's in your head, you won't do it. You can say it, but you won't do it. But if it's in your heart, it will change you. And that's what we're after. God is after change. Why? Say this with me. Say, change is good. One more time. Say, change is good. Unless you can get to heaven your way, they used to sing a song, Can't Get to Heaven in a Rocking Chair, or I forget how it goes. My father-in-law sang it, Fiona's dad. Listen, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to what? Death. You have to do things God's way. It's God's kingdom. He is Lord. That means you're not. Say, I'm not Lord. Say, Jesus is Lord. Okay, now, if Jesus is Lord, you got to do things His way. It's His Word, His Holy Spirit. Now, is He someone, is God overbearing? I don't consider someone overbearing who, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in Him should have eternal life. That's not overbearing. Someone is not overbearing when they say, I will forgive your sins. I will wipe away. That's not overbearing. That's loving. So the question is today. Number one, you got to be willing to change. If you're not willing to change, God can't even help you. You got to be willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. You got to have a willing heart. You don't have to have all the answers. Isn't that great? We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to be clean fish before we can come to the fish house. You don't have to be perfectly clean when you catch them. So guess what? People are going to come in here with mess. They're going to come in here stinking bad. They're going to come here looking different. But guess what? They go through a process of being cleaned. Let God do the cleaning. Amen. We're not qualified to clean. Only God is. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that there are some people here today, and you need to change. I don't know what you need to change. I don't know how you need to change. God does. That's between you and God. But today, I can give you an opportunity to change by simply humbling yourself under God's mighty hand and say, Lord, I want to change. I need your help. Amen? When you do that, God will be right there to help you. Because when you say it that way, you and God want the same thing. You get into agreement with God. Amen? Why don't you stand up with me, please? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to help people that need to change by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to begin to move right now on every heart, on every person here in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the convicting power of God that's designed to give you grace to help you change. Amen? I'm not going to ask you what you want to change.